Amen. I like to hear you talk and fellowship, and that's good. We can't get enough of that, can we? Amen. How many of you know the presence of God's already in this place today?
Amen.
He's already here. He's here because we brought him in here with us. And I thank him for that. I thank him for his presence because, as George was saying, when we pray, we're not just praying out of the air or, well, that's what we're supposed to do. Let's see how good it sounds. All that's nothing. We're praying to a God that's real. And he's able to do everything we put before him today. He's more than able. I'm confident in believing that he's able. You know, you sing a song, an old song, time ago, he's able. And he is able today. And some of you know that. You're either about to go into something, in the middle of something, or just come through something. But whatever stage you're in, you will know he's God and he'll take care of his own. Amen. Easter's coming up pretty quick, and I thank God always for the sacrifices he made for us. I want to talk about a relevant Jesus this morning. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, I want to talk about relevant. The word relevant means to be pertinent or to be applicable. The God that we serve is certainly pertinent and applicable. Relevance is a word that I want you to put in your spirit, because when I think about what Christ has done for us on Calvary, I can only come up with the word relevant. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. Some of you are dealing with trouble right now. This world is trouble. If you get up in the morning and go outside and get in a car and go to work somewhere, you're entering into trouble, because the world is full of it. And the world is in a mass confusion today because they don't have an answer. But we know who the answer is, don't we?
Yeah.
And when we think about being relevant, as you read statistics, and I've been doing a lot of study on church growth, what makes churches grow, what makes churches not grow, all of this is categorized in many different ways. But the bottom line is, are we presenting a relevant God to a relevant world? The thing I want to say to you today is that this is not a show. This is not just something we do because it's Sunday. We've done it for 50 years. We're just going to do it. It's not about that. It's about that we represent a God today that is able. I come this morning, I stand before you today with no answers in myself, but to tell you there's a God who has an answer for everything you're dealing with right now. So as we begin this scenario today, let's understand one thing. Doubt has always been a part of life. In the Garden of Eden, when God had created perfect serenity, we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, and everything in there was beautiful. There was one tree, said, leave it alone, tree of knowledge. You know the story. I'm not going to take you time to do all that. But what happened in that garden has been the persona for the rest of life, and that is doubt. What did the snake tell Adam and Eve? Did God really say that? He put confusion in their minds. He put doubt in their minds. And so at that point, we know the story, how Adam and Eve sinned against God. They separated themselves from God. And at that point, we were lost forever. What does it mean to be lost? So you know, some people's got a lot of sarcasm when it comes to church today, and you'll ask them, you know, about being lost. They said, I didn't know I was lost. I know exactly where I'm at. You know, I'm not talking about geographically. We're talking about, where is your heart? Now, that's a question that a lot of people can't answer. Where is your heart? Because they're searching now to find where that is. But as we begin this today, we'll talk about doubt, because doubt's always been here, and doubt has always been that element of the enemy to get people off track, off mind, out of reality of knowing that there's a God who is able. I want to say this to you, and I want you to remember, God is able. Turn to the one beside of you and say, God is able. You need to say that sometimes, because sometimes we've got to make ourselves, you know, we've got to speak ourselves into belief, because we deal with doubt every day, every one of us do. But I want to talk about a God who loved us so much that he wasn't willing to let the thing stay that we would just be lost forever. He loved us so much that he became a part of what we need. Last week we talked about needs. The last couple of Sundays we've talked about needs. And the thing that every one of us need today, we need direction. Every one of our prayers today is a directive prayer. We need direction. And whatever state you're in, you do need direction. God, I need you to help me. And I want you to know there's a God who's able to help us. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus is dealing here. In verse 31, I want to read. We're talking about relevance. And the Lord said, Luke chapter 7, verse 31, and the Lord said, whereunto then shall I be likened the men of this generation? Now that's powerful. You got to understand that ever since the beginning of time, there's been doubt. And all through Scripture, all through history, people have dealt with doubt. Jesus was here. He was the Son of God. It was prophesied that he would be here. He was born in a manger, just like they said thousands of years ago. He was born, he lived, he's alive, and he's walking among them, and they don't even know it. Jesus comes on the scene, and I want you to understand what Easter is all about today. Easter, and this is a real simple explanation. Easter is about giving us access to God. That's all Easter's about. Easter's about giving us access to God. Why do we need him so much? Because he created us. He made us. You remember in the garden, he formed in the dust of the earth and breathed into them, and they became a living soul. And every day we live, we give him praise because it's him that gives us breath of life. Amen? It's him that gives us the ability to get up in the morning, think and see and drive a car and function and do all the things we need to do to supply for our family. It's him that does that. And today we come in this place to honor him this Sabbath day, to give him praise and honor and glory. For God, you brought me through another week. And God, I recognize that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have done it. Amen. If it wasn't for you, God, I couldn't have been here. And see, the enemy wants to get in that. It's a simple story, but yet the enemy just makes it so complicated about God. Because from the beginning of time, there's always been that battle. Is he real? Is he relevant? I mean, what? Let's think about it. He's just a man in history. Everything that can be said has been said. And what's the result of that? Every one of us live in the overdraft of that, or when the dust settles, every one of us have to live with the thought, is God real? Is he relevant to my life? You know, because so many times church is church and life is life. Let me say that again. Wake that one up beside him and tell them they need to hear this. Church is church and life is life. We go home, we throw our Bible on the coffee table, we don't bother it again until Sunday morning on the way out. And the rest of the week, we deal with life as we know it. How many of you know I'm preaching truth this morning? How many of you know that we all are guilty of that and we think, well, you know, we got to handle this. I want to tell you, there's things in life that you can't handle. Amen. I know you can handle a lot of stuff. I know y'all are bad to the bone. I know that. Amen. Look at the woman beside and say, don't mess with me. I'm bad to the bone. Tell them. Amen. I know that. I'm aware of that. I'm scared of some of y'all, all right? But there are times in life that you can't handle it. How about them days when it's not just one thing, but it's everything? You ever had them days? You've pretty much got this settled. You know, you're juggling everything, and I bow God it, and all of a sudden here comes another scenario at 5:03 in the afternoon, amen? I thought I was done with this day. See, that's life. And that's just life. Things just happen to us and there's no rhyme or reason. There are things that happen to us. And Jesus is about to give a discourse here of the people of his generation, the people of his day. What kind of men are this morning that there was a religious order who was governing everything. The Jews, you know, if you're not that, we talked about that Wednesday also. Gentiles were out of it. They didn't have a hope. Jews just run everything. They just document. Everything was under control with them. I want to tell you something. As bad as man thinks he is, and as much control as he thinks he's got, man has nothing with control. God is the only source of control. If you think you got control, the next time we have a storm come up, you stand out there and tell it to go away. It'll blow you away. Amen? I mean, you think about a hurricane. You think about all these things. And I think about, man, we're all hovered down trying to be safe, you know, and we are so powerful. But when it comes to Almighty God, we are nothing. And He loved you and me enough to say, I want to give you access. That's what Easter's about. And Jesus here talking. The Son of God. You got to understand, He was God incarnated in the flesh. And I want to talk about that just a minute, about as far as Easter and all that's concerned, as we're talking about being relevant. I want to talk about the incarnation of God just a few minutes. Now, that's a big theological word that just simply means that He left heaven to be here with us. That's all it really means. You got to think about God, the ultimate. He knows everything. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's a powerful God. But He loved you and I enough to say, I don't want to lose you. I want to be relevant. I want you to understand I'm a God of where you are right now. Now, you got to understand, all this is going to make sense in just a minute. Doubt has been fielding around here to make you feel like you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough. That's been the battle forever. Righteousness. George about preached my sermon this morning. Come on up here, George, and finish it. Amen. You started it. You finished it. But it's been about who is right. Who's got it together? And then we talked about that circumcision. We talked about all that. If you do all these religious things, then you're going to be right. So what happens is doubt filters through all this religion and all this stuff, and it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel like that you are not worthy. How many of you know that the Bible says that God did not come into the world to condemn the world? Now, God will convict you of what's in your life that's not right, but He'll never condemn you because He loves you that much. He'll say, I love you. You got something in you that needs to be out, but I want you to know I'm willing to be with you and work with you through this whole process because I love you. And I don't judge you based on what you're dealing with. I love you. That's bottom line. You know what? It's hard for us to understand that because we've been so mechanized that you're either lovable or unlovable. You either got it or you don't have it. What about the days when you're in between and you don't know if you got it or not? And if you got it, you don't want it and that kind of stuff. How many of you know that when you're like that, God made a way? Easter is that way. Jesus came out of that too. And He said, I'm here for you. I've broken all these chains because I want you to understand I'm a relevant God. So look here what He says here. Verse 31. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? What's He talking about there? He's talking about that religious order that is separating people. You know what I love about Easter so much today? In the incarnation of God. And I want you to get this because our time is running away from us. I really want you to get this. What incarnation really means, He who knew no sin became sin. Now we know that. We're familiar with that description. But let me break it down a little bit. He didn't have sin. He did not have any of that. Guess what? He took our sin. He took mine. He took yours. He didn't have any. He left the beautiful splendor of heaven where he had it all together. He still got it together. He could have said, that's your choice, so be it. But God so loved the world. You know what God so loved the world? You know what so means? God so loved the world, he made a decision to love you. Let me ask you this. How strong is the word love today? A lot of people use it in a lot of different ways. I love pizza. Amen. We got some real people here this morning. I love this. Everybody loves everything, you know. But God's love was like this. You were not lovable anymore, but I still loved you. That's awesome. See, today's love is I love you as long as you're lovable. Right? What I can get out of it. But see, God so loved us that he's looked at the situation and he says, they are hopeless. They're lost. We're without forever. And he said, I can't leave it like this. So he came to the earth and now he's asking a question. What are these people like? All right, look at verse 32. And they likened unto children sitting in the marketplace, calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. What in the world does that mean? We played the music, and you didn't dance. He says, and we have mourned to you, but you didn't weep. What does that say? They were lost. They were lost connected. There was no connection there. I want to tell you, I don't know what you're dealing with in life right now, but you need connection. You need some real connection, and he is the connection. And it's, look at verse 33, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he's a devil. I mean, he didn't do nothing, and they're saying he's a demon. Verse 34, and the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, the last part was right. He was a friend of sinners. And I want you to understand this morning as we talk about that, Jesus became our sin because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short. But what is Jesus trying to say right here? Is that everything that's going on is not relevant. There are people that's playing music, but they're not dancing. There's all kind of doubt going around of what's what and what's this. But he said there's one thing that is real, and that is that I am a friend of sinners. And all through his ministry, he loved the unlovable. He loved people. He stood there with them. And he worked with them. And he did not give up on them. See, because what he's saying here is that they are spiritually immature. And I want to say this to you. There are a lot of people today who are not going to church because they don't believe in it. Because they had real needs and they went into the church and for whatever happened, they did not get satisfied. I want to tell you something. This building, people will not minister to you what you need. We simply represent a God who is able. This is a monument every week when people ride by that God is alive. Nobody in here has all the answers to everything in life. Nobody. But sometimes they present themselves as they do. And they got all these explanations, but I want to tell you, nobody has the answer but one, and that's Jesus is the answer. Amen? He's the answer for what you're dealing with. And I want to say to this, Jesus became relevant. That's what Easter's about. Jesus became relevant. In Luke 19:10, he said he came to seek and to save them that are lost. Now, what does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be lost? Well, there's a million different definitions for that. But what it really means is that you're going through a war of turmoil and strife in your heart, and you don't know what's right. You ever been through that? Sometimes you're dealing with situations in life that are so big, You believe, yeah, I know God's able, but is he able to do it for me? Jesus came to seek and to save. And the word seek means he's looking for you. He's not running from you. He's looking for you. And he wants to help you in every situation that you're going. Jesus became relevant. When we celebrate Easter in the next few weeks and we give him glory for coming out of that tomb, it is more than just that. It's a God who wants to live with you every day. And it doesn't matter how good or bad you are, because guess what? We can never be good enough. And we can never be bad enough for God. Do you think you can be so bad God won't love you no more? No. Do you think you can be so good? No. Our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Thank you. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no way. And Jesus says, look at all these men. Who are they? What are they trying to say? Because everybody's going around and they're causing division. And if you don't look like this or act like that or wear this or wear that or go to this church, the first church or the second church and all that. And I see a church the other day, the whole side of the bus was one man. Lord, have mercy. You know, doesn't matter. God so loved the world. I saw a church the other day, Jump and Run Church. You got to be on your ball when you go there now. Amen. Then I saw the First Church. First Baptist Church. This is one thing I don't know. Y'all help me. Help me right here. Then I saw the Second Baptist Church. What is that? What is the First Baptist and the Second Baptist? I don't understand all that. But you see, I don't have to, because God, he understands it all. He's got a rhyme and reason for everything. How many of you know what's important is what you're going through right now? Church is not your answer. A building is not your answer. People's not your answer. But Jesus is your answer. And we come here each and every Sunday, and God's give us the privilege because Jesus is relevant. He's relevant for what you need in your life. Can you give me just a few more minutes? Matthew chapter 9. Turn there real quick. Matthew chapter 9. Can I have 5 minutes? 6 minutes. Thank you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat in the meat of the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. I'm in chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eat ye, Master, with publicans and sinners? I want to tell you the second thing. Jesus is relevant because he opens himself to you. Now here the religious order says, why is he sitting there talking to them people? That's their biggest concern. Jesus' concern is they need me. And I want to say this to you today. I don't care what you've been through, what you've done, that is irrelevant. God loves you more today than you'll ever imagine. He doesn't base your life on how good you were. See, Jesus was relevant. While they were having church and while they were doing their little religious stuff and categorizing everybody. And I'm being real this morning because some of the biggest hurts in life have happened in church. Am I telling the truth? And I want to tell you something this morning. He loves you. Listen, we all go through things in life. We all get off the side of the road sometime. We all are imperfect sometime. Turn to the woman beside of you and say, did you know you're not perfect? Okay, now, some of y'all scared to do it. Amen. And I think about that every time. A judgmental spirit starts coming up in me, or I start wanting to point fingers. I think, whoa, 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 whoa. Your backyard's not cleaned up. Till you get it clean, you don't have a right. Jesus is the only one that has that right. Amen. And you know what Jesus did? He came because they needed to be saved. Now let's talk about that just a second. Saved from what? You know, our world is so intelligent and they're so intellectual today and everything. So you talk about lost and saved and all that, and they'll come right into your face and say, saved from what? You know why there's no revivals anymore in America? Because nobody believes they need that. I'm standing before you today. I'll be the only one maybe. But I need him today. Because I don't have it all together. I'll be honest, I don't have it all together. None of us have it all together. Jesus came because they need to be saved. Saved from what? Themselves. Because we're our worst enemy. Right? We beat ourselves up a lot more than God ever intended to be ourselves. He never came to you and condemned you. You condemned yourself. The Bible came, Jesus came to love you. What does it say God is? God is love. And when you come to Him and you say, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm going through a lot right now. I need you. Guess what? He don't sit there and say, hold on, wait just a minute. Let me see if you're worthy. Easter made us worthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's an anointing in this place today. Somebody's listening to me today because you need to hear this. You need to quit dragging your past with you. You need to quit beating yourself to death over your past. You need to quit beating yourself to death over decisions you've made, or if I hadn't have done that, or I hadn't have said that, or hadn't. You need to forget all that, because that's torment. How many of you know that's torment? But God says today, I'm a relevant God. And I'm a God that will stand with you and say, God, I got all this mess. I got all this mess. That's good. That's okay. I'll work with you. How many of you can say that things that used to bother you don't bother you today? Right? It's things we used to deal with, maybe we got stronger and we're better at it now. We're over that. We're just going on to something else now. God builds us faith to faith, level to level. And He will come right where you are. Jesus is relevant in time. That's the last point. Zacchaeus, remember him sitting in the tree? Jesus stopped and ministered to him. Nobody else wouldn't even talk to him. He ministered to him. Let me tell you this. I'll close with this. Proverbs 18:24. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He sticks closer than a brother. Today I want you to stand to your feet and close your eyes if you will. No one looking around. We're going to have a time of prayer right now. I want to thank you for listening. It's not quite 12 o'clock yet, so we got a few more minutes. But as your heads are bowed and no one looking around, I want to say to you today that whatever you're dealing with, He loves you. It's hard for us to understand that love because we compare that love to being lovable. God loves you unconditionally. That means He just loves you. Doesn't matter, good, bad, indifferent, He loves you. If you're here today and you're dealing with things in life and you don't really want to tell nobody about it, it's nobody's business, you're just dealing with stuff, and you really need God to help you, I just want you to lift your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not going to ask you to come to altar. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Nobody's going to even know that you raised your hand. Many hands went up here this morning. I'm going through stuff in my life right now, and I just need God to help me. A couple things I want to leave you today. Number one, He's your God. He loves you. He did everything for you. He left. He became sin for you. He came out of that tomb for you. Those of you, number one, He's your God. Number two, you can tell Him anything. You can tell Him anything because He already knows it. He just wants you to be comfortable enough to share it with Him and say, Lord, I'm battling in my faith. I'm battling in what I believe. I'm battling, Lord. I'm just really, really battling. Whatever your battle is, He wants you to tell Him about it. And then thirdly, give Him enough time to work things out for you. God, I thank you today for every hand that was raised this morning. I thank you, God, for every hand that was raised. Now, God, you know every scenario. You know every situation. And God, I ask you in Jesus' name that you perform a work this morning in their lives. And God, as they're standing here today and as they've raised their hands, I pray, Lord, that they'll repeat this prayer with me. Lord, today I've raised my hand in this church signifying that I have needs. And today, God, I don't understand it all and I don't know how to do it all, but I'm going to learn to turn things over to you today. Lord, I'm going to learn that ever how long it takes. Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless every one of you today. Thank you for coming.